Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. They say, how long are we going to be in Proverbs? Till we get done. Okay? I guarantee you it's going to be at least 20 more weeks. Okay? Because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Last week we went through Proverbs chapter 10. And the question that I asked was, do you want to be wise or foolish? And the point is that you are who you want to be. And we're going to continue that thought tonight in chapter 11. In verse 1, it says that a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Our choices make our legacy. People will understand who we are by what we choose to do. And that's what verse 1 says. It determines our legacy. It's determined, it's demonstrated in our diligence, in what treasures we work for. We can work for earthly treasures, or we can work for heavenly treasures. The ones that we should work for are heavenly. They do not fade away. They do not get rusted or corrupt or anything like that. And thieves can't get them because they're in the hand of God. And so we understand that where our heart is, there our treasure is also. And we demonstrate our diligence in the effort that we exert for the things that we think are valuable. And then lastly, that true treasures are hid in Christ. As we continue along, okay, it's demonstrated in our direction. Our choices are demonstrated in the way we go. And so it's also demonstrated in our practices, in our speech, how we talk, what we talk about. Not just necessarily how we talk, but what we talk about. In our attitudes, including pandemics, including all the stuff that's going on in the world today. Your attitude, you're either seeing it through God's prism or you're seeing it through the world's prism. We need to see it through God's prism. And then demonstrate in our practice in life. Are we following a holy, righteous life? That's what we need. And then it's demonstrated in the results of our life. If all you talk about is what you got here, then you're not heavenly focused. You don't have God's prism. You got the world's prism, and you need to change that. And then lastly, in our outlook, are we looking for Christ to come back? Look at the signs of the time. They're here. They're here. I am fully anticipating that in my lifetime, Christ will come back. And we need to live like that. We need to live as if this is the last day we have on earth and we want to please God. You know, when Christ comes back, will He find faith on earth? Will He find His servants so doing? Will He find us being soldiers for Him and ministers for Him and servants of Him? So, do you want to be wise or foolish? You are who you want to be. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1, we close with this. Who is the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Moses' face shone when he was in the presence of God. Our face should also show that hope. And people should know that we are God's. So tonight, we're going to continue along that same path. Tonight's message is called, It's Your Choice. It's your choice. And the main point is, our choices define us. It is a continuation of the previous chapter. Now, there's a whole bunch of little this way or this way. They're called couplets in through here. And so it's you have two options here. And we see a righteous option and we see a wicked option. Folks, that's the only two options we have. We're either righteous towards God, or if we're turning against God, then that's wickedness. So our choices define us. So in verses 1 and 6, we have the choice to be true or false. We have the choice to live truth or to live a lie. And there's four specific points in these six chapters. The first one is, we need to be truthful in our dealings. In Proverbs 11:1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Folks, Christians should not cheat other Christians. Christians should be honest workers. This is about being honest in business. And you can't say that you're a devout Christian if you're cheating on things. And that includes taxes. That includes taxes. It's always good to get a good deal. That's absolutely great. But we need to do it the right way. So are we living a true life or a false life in how we deal in our business practices? Secondly, are we living a true life or are we living a lie or a dishonest life in our demeanor? In verse 2, the Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. You know, there's all sorts of people that have said, look at me, and they think that they're the greatest thing, and then all of a sudden, they have a humongous collapse in their reputation and a humongous fall. It's going to cause God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to what? The humble. And we see the second part of this verse. It says, but with the lowly or with the humble is what? Wisdom. Folks, we can't think like God thinks when we think like we want to think. When there's too much of me in that thought process. It needs to be you, Lord. It needs to be you, God. It needs to be you, Master. And so, are we living the true life or are we living a false life in our dealings? Are we living a true life or are we living a false life in our demeanor? Are we living a true life or are we living a false life in the path or the direction that we're on? In verse 3, it says the integrity. Now this talks about character. You can look honest on the outside. How many have been to car salesmen and understood that, right? Yeah. You know, they're despised, right? Why? Because no one trusted them. When people look at you, can they trust you? People can trust you if you have integrity. You know, Job, he talked about his what? All the time. He talked about his integrity. It says the integrity of the what? Upright. The integrity of the upright shall what? Guide them. Folks, if we make a commitment to be true, we won't do false things. We will have true dealings. We will have a true demeanor. We will treat others as God would treat them. It says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall what? Destroy them. And so as we get further and further into this chapter, we see these contrasts becoming greater and greater. So this one is guide or destroy. Which one would you want? It's obvious. I want God to guide me. Fourthly, to be true or false in our deliverance. There's a lot of people that put a lot of hope in false things and think that that's going to get them out of trouble. But in verses 4 through 6, it says this. It says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from what? Death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his what? Own wickedness. Your choices pick the way that you go. It says the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. You might be able to fool people, but you can't fool God. You know, you can have riches, but the point is what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is a great example in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man had everything going for him. and Lazarus was just begging for the crumbs off his table, and the rich man did not provide. And they both what? Died. Because it is appointed on a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we'll be judged on what kind of life we live. And who we lived that life for. Yourself or for God. And so we know that the rich man went to hell. And he was in torment. And now who's the beggar? In the earthly life, the Lazarus was the beggar. But in the eternal life, the rich man was the beggar. Folks, I would rather beg here on earth and be in the presence of God in heaven like John is tonight than to be in hell saying, I could have been there. I could have been there. And now Lazarus is what? Comforted. Because he went to a place of paradise and a place of peace. Folks, our true life or our fake life will be revealed when we come to the end of our life. Money can buy just about anything in this world, but it can't buy anything beyond this world. And so the question here is do we need to, we have to be true or false? And the choice is obvious. The choice is obvious. How do people see you? Do they see you as honest? Do they see you as having integrity? Do they see you as being righteous? Do they see you as being upright? That's what Solomon is writing here. He says we need to be true followers of wisdom. Secondly, to be life or death. See, if you're alive to God, you're dead to sin. If you're dead to God, you're alive to sin. And who are you living for? Okay? Do you have a lively hope or do you have a dead hope? In Proverbs 11, verses 7 through 9, it says, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Talk about legacy. There isn't one for a wicked man. There's nothing that's eternal for that except his eternal damnation. It says, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Really, you could translate it this, instead it goes to the wicked. The trouble goes to the wicked. It says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. You know, there's a great example of this in the book of Esther, and his name was Haman. Haman couldn't stand Mordecai because Mordecai didn't give Haman the glory that Haman thought he deserved. And so he goes and he basically tricks the king into making a law to kill all the Jews out of this. But God's got a way. He puts Esther in the palace. He makes Esther bold enough to go approach the king. And now as Haman starts to fall, what does he do? He tries to do everything he can to right himself, but he winds up being hung on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. Not only that, all of his family got hung. His entire family perished. Folks, we should not get perished here. Ah, the picture fell. And then what happened? All those that thought they were going to be killed wound up being able to defend themselves. And in reality, the kingdom was purged of wicked people. Think about that. So the issue is when a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish. As soon as Esther pointed the finger and said, he's the man, Haman knew that his fate was sealed. Folks, there's always hope with Christ. There's always hope with Christ. We have a blessed hope. We have a lively hope. We have the hope that's in us. We ought to be able to share that with others. The last verse, the hypocrite. The one who talks nicely to get what he wants, but then in reality stabbing one in the back. And you know, I know some people that call themselves Christians that do the exact same thing. Shouldn't happen! It should not happen. That is not being alive to God, that's being dead to him. So, are we alive or are we dead in our hope? Are we alive or are we dead in blessing? I just don't see the blessing of God in my life. Well, maybe you need to be alive to God. Because my Bible is full, chock full of promises about he's going to bless those who follow him. In verses 10 through 11 it says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Folks, we need to keep on praying for our city. We need to keep on praying for our county and our state and our nation. Because we can make a difference. Our impact goes beyond ourselves. It's by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. See, you can see a lot of hypocrisy out there today. But it shouldn't be named once above the Christians. We should be people who live a true life, a honest life, a righteous life, a life of integrity. Be different than the world. Don't touch the unclean thing. And so, are we alive or dead in our hope? Are we alive or dead in our blessing? Are we alive in death in how we act or in civility? In Proverbs 11 verses 12 through 13, it says, he that is void. Now, what does void mean? You have nada. There's not a piece of wisdom in there. Well, no, there's not even a kernel of truth there. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. And that actually goes to the previous verse. Okay? Because a hypocrite will destroy his neighbor even though his neighbor thinks that everything's okay. He says, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know, James says, John, I believe, says that love can cover a what? Multitude of sins. Everybody should be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak. You know, when David was running from Absalom, there was a guy of Saul's household by the name of Shimei. And Shimei came down the road and he sees David and he's cursing him and he's throwing rocks and dirt in the air and all this other stuff. And David, who was the king, he could have taken action there. He just kept his mouth shut. Okay? And he said, that's the judgment of God. Folks, when things happen to us, we need to understand that this is an opportunity to have faith or to fail. Look at Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, it says, as a sheep before shears, he openeth what? Not his mouth. He was reviled and he was rejected. He was all these other things, but he didn't open his mouth. There was no guile found in his mouth. You know, some things don't necessarily deserve an answer. When you know the truth, we should be Christ-like. The issue is, let our actions be stronger than our words. And so David, you know, said, nah, don't do it. Now later on, he told his son Solomon, there's some issue here with him. But he was gracious to Shimei, and Shimei broke that. So, are we life and death and hope? Are we life and death in blessing? Are we life and death in civility? Thirdly, to have good or bad decisions. To have good or bad decisions basically define who we are. we make bad decisions, our choices will be bad. Our outcome will be bad. If we have good choices, our outcome will be good. It's simple. Mia can even understand that. Okay? She can even understand that. In verses 14 through 15, it says this. Where no counsel, you could also say is like management. Where no counsel is, the people what? Fall. Okay? And you know something? What that means is people in leadership should see both sides of the story and listen instead of listening to one group. That's a problem with our country right now. That's a problem in our churches right now. People just listen to one thing. We should listen to God. He is the one that we need to listen to. But don't listen to anybody else. Where no counsel is, a people fall. But in the what? Multitude of counselors, there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. You know, someone came up and said, hey, you want to sign this $1,000 loan as a co-signer for me? Would you do it? No. No. It says, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. Okay? You know, we all need good advice. No one is above not taking advice, not seeking advice, not following someone else's advice. None of us in here have the corner on all wisdom. Maybe some people here have been through things that other people have been going through. That's what 1 Thessalonians 1 says, that we can comfort someone with the same comfort that we had, or get through the same trial that they're going through now. So the issue is to have good or bad decisions. Tell you what, you're going to fail if you don't seek godly counsel. Okay? If you think you can do it on your own. Doesn't work that way. The only one who could do it on his own was Jesus Christ. I'm glad he took on the suretyship of my sin debt. He didn't have to do it, but he loved me enough to do it. And he died on the cross for my sins. And we're indebted to him forever. So, do we have good or bad decisions? Do we have good or bad in testimony? Do we have a good or bad testimony? In verses 16 through 18, it says, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Okay, this has got to be valiant men. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, because that's all they can do. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a what? Sure reward. You know, there's a great example in a little book in the Old Testament of Ruth. Ruth was a gracious woman. Her husband died. Her mother-in-law was a Jew and wanted to go back. And she went back with her. And she wound up in a little town of Bethlehem. And she was known for her virtue, even in the presence of Obed or Boaz. She was known, she did the virtuous thing. She was beyond reproach. And that's what we should be as Christians. She had a testimony that she was faithful to her mother-in-law, that she was faithful in her dealings. And so she was gracious and she retained her honor. And she got riches because of that, because she married Boaz, who had all those fields. We know about blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. It says, but to him that soweth, goeth forth sowing precious seed will what? Surely come bringing his sheaves with him. So see, we need to be righteous in our decisions. We can have a good or bad testimony. How's your testimony? How do people see you? How's your family see you? They see you more than we do. What kind of testimony do you have? Thirdly, to have good or bad pursuits. Good or bad pursuits. In verses 19 through 21, it says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth this to his own death. There's a choice. And it should be an obvious choice. When you do a good thing, good things ought to come out of it. When you do bad things, more bad comes. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. Don't expect God to bless people who do things contrary to what He commands. It's not going to happen. But such as are upright in their way are what? His delight. Our choices should be based on, does this please God or does it displease God? We wouldn't even worry about the outcome because we know God will bless righteousness. Next, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. There's a lot of people, well, there were people that thought they could build a tower to heaven. And you see where that got them. There was people that thought that they didn't need a boat. You see what that got them to. It says, though hand join in hand. There were a whole bunch of religious people that thought that they could get rid of Christ and His testimony. See, that didn't work out very well, did it? Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be, and everybody say it, delivered. Do you want to be deceived or do you want to be delivered? That's the choice. You can either live a life of deception or you can live a life of being delivered by God. You could be in His delight or you could have God in your derision. The question is that will I please or displease God at judgment time? Everyone will be judged by God. Doesn't matter how many alliances you have down here, not a single one of them is going to stand in heaven before the righteous God. And so are we have good or we have bad pursuits? In verses 22 through 31, as we close the chapter out, our choice is to be consistent or inconsistent in perception by others. This is a great proverb coming up. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, who would waste any jewel or gold in a pig's nose? Do you have that picture? Sometimes the Bible gives you some pretty good pictures here. It says, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Oh, by the way, the same thing goes for a man. Okay? Do you want to stink to God or do you want to be righteous to Him? Do you want your life to be a sweet-smelling savor of sacrifice or do you want to have His disgust? You know, if we saw a picture of this, it would be disgusting. You know, it breaks my heart when I see young ladies and young men throw the F word around and have absolutely no discretion and do all sorts of ungodly things in public when they should know better. Folks, we have the answer. We have the answer. We should be different. So how is your perception, how consistent is your life in front of others? In your appearance, in your language, in your actions. How consistent is your life in perspective or in your desires? You know, do we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus" here, and then we do something totally different out there? And verse 23, it says the desire, look at this one. I think we all fail at this one. The desire of the righteous is what? Only good. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. What is your perspective? Is your perspective God and His goodness and His righteousness? Or your perspective the world and the lust thereof? And the wickedness that's in there? See, we need to be consistent. If we are truly Christians, we'll be truly righteous. And if we're truly righteous, we will only seek those good things. If we are truly righteous, we will only do things that will delight God and make Him proud of us. You know, we want our kids to make us proud, right? Our Heavenly Father wants the same thing. So, are we consistent in how others perceive us? Are we consistent in our perspective towards life in the world? Are we consistent in something else? There's a principle of sowing and reaping here. It says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That goes into the next point, which is in our practice. In verses 24 through 27, it says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty." Now, what does this say? This is a paradox. Someone who's constantly throwing stuff out and giving stuff away, and they wind up with what? More. But someone who's holding on to everything that they have, and they wind up having what? Less. That's what that verse means. The liberal, and look at verse 25, "The liberal soul shall be made what? Fat." You start giving away stuff, you'll get more to give away. "And he that watereth shall be watereth also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth what? Favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him." There's a great example in the life of David. David is fleeing Saul. And he's up in the hills, and he's near the possession of this guy by the name of Nabal. And so David, he's running out of food. He's helping people. He's been anointed king, but he's running from Saul. And he comes to Nabal and he says, "Hey, can we have some food?" And Nabal says, "Who's this David? He hadn't done me any good. He protected his sheep. He protected his land. He protected all this other stuff." And David just wanted a little bit of food. And he says, "I won't give it to him." And so his wife Abigail finds out about it. What does she do? She goes and she gets all the stuff, and she goes and she does this to deflect David's possible wrath. And so David is blessed and she is blessed. What happens to Nabal? His heart, when he finds out, his heart turns into a stone and he what? Dies. And he dies. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. Remember Joseph? Joseph basically, you know, stored up those 7 years of plenty so that when there was a lack, corn could be distributed. So, are we consistent or inconsistent in our practice? Are we act differently to some than to others? Or do we act the same way? Are we a blessing to all? Are we just a blessing to the ones that we think are deserving of a blessing? We need to be consistent in our practices. Lastly, we need to be consistent in our prospects. We need to be consistent in our prospects. He that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Remember in Luke chapter 12, Jesus was talking about the parable of the rich man. He had many fields and he brought in his, and a rich man had fields that brought in plentiful. And he, what did he say? He says, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater than these and I'll rest. And he says, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. See, he that trusteth in the riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Saul troubled his own house, and look at what happened in the end. And the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. And then here's a great verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. See? So I'll leave that up to someone else. We're all commanded to do this. He that winneth souls is wise. Is your tree alive or is it dead? Your choices make it alive or dead. To be true or false, good or bad. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more the wicked and the sinner. What we need to understand is just like Colossians 3 says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Okay? If ye be risen in Christ, seek ye that things that where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So tonight, what choices are you making? What choices are you making in your business practices? What choices are you making in your life decisions? What choices are you making in your character? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle. Folks, that's a choice. That's the choice that we should make. Are we living that choice tonight? If not, you can get that straightened out tonight as we have a verse of invitation. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just help us to examine our choices and see if they're good or bad, if they're consistent or inconsistent, to see if they're truthful or a lie, to see if they're alive or dead. Lord, I pray that you just help us to do what you want us to do and that we would surrender to you. Help us to empty ourselves of all of our pride and to follow you with all of our heart. Help us not to depend on things that man can provide, but depend on you and you alone. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. I say.